Hello?
Mr. President,
yeah.
Several things to report. First of all, I got a copy of Newsweek, and then I called Chuck Roberts, and he said the following. First of all, he said that their public, Newsweek's public relations man, had put out a release yesterday saying that this was based upon an exclusive interview with you, and that when Newsweek reporters heard, editors heard about it, they called that back because it wasn't based on an exclusive interview. I said, my point, Chuck, is that it sounds as if it were. And sure enough, I've talked to three or four people here this morning who say that that they've read Newsweek or read the AP stories of it, and it sounds like direct quotes from the president. Do you have a minute to let me read you the pertinent sections from the magazine article?
Yes, but I'm not more interested in that as I am as to what he's done and where he got it and why he would be attributed.
He says, quote, I talked to people to whom the president talked, and I'm confident of the information that we received.
But tell him that's wrong. Tell him the president.
I
didn't know McHugh was on the plane.
That's one story. I said, Chuck, that one story in itself is enough to refute it. And then they go on and they keep saying, they have a long two paragraphs about your memories of the day that Truman was killed. Became president.
But Truman killed?
I mean, the day when Truman became president, when Roosevelt died.
Well, the only thing I know there is I told Bill White that night he wrote a story from Rayburn's office. None of this stuff that I see in the paper is true. I think we better write a nice paragraph and say I've had no interviews on the subject at all. And this is completely inaccurate and untrue and unfair, that I've asked my staff not to discuss it. I've asked my former associates not to discuss it. And ask them to publish it and ask Kay and just say, this is just murder to us, and you've got headlines that... I read you the headlines, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
The OBJ differs on Kennedy friction. That's 8 columns. That's like a war story.
Washington Post says LBJ version on 63 oath is reported.
The LBJ version clashes with book detail. They're trying to build up the story, you see, by using the presidency. The Dallas News, I haven't seen it yet, but the Austin American didn't use anything. But these others do it. Go ahead now. What does he say? He's talked to people who have talked to the president.
Yes, he says, we talked to a number of people.
Johnson's recollection reported this.
That's right.
Wolverick says, LBJ remembers intercepting McHugh, and I did tell him off. I never heard of that. I don't remember intercepting him at all. He says, it's a word that comes easy as Texan. You know, some guy's office and he isn't in, I'll say his secretary, honey, have him call me.
Once when he comes in.
Now, those are their ideas, you see. That's kind of their idea, you all.
That's right. I said, Chuck, it would help history to be righted if you could tell me where you got this. And he said, well, I can't do that. I'm not the only one who worked on the story, obviously. He said, but we talked to a number of people who had talked to the president. But, Mr. President, let me find this one. I wasn't going to let Mrs. Kennedy fly back along with the body, he explained to intimates. By Mr. Johnson's memory, Robert Kennedy was not noncommittal. He recalls telephoning Bobby. But there's one sentence I wanted to say. I wanted to read you just 1 minute. The moral, Mr. Johnson seemed to be drawing last week without spelling it out, was that no one at the time suggested that Truman had shown unseemly haste in promptly taking the presidential oath. That is, as if you had spent a specific period of your time last week talking to somebody about this. Now, I said to Roberts, I said, this means, Chuck, that the president who was at the ranch all of last week would have had to be doing this talking down there. And he said, that's what we understand.
Well, that's not true, is it?
It's just totally fictitious.
And I never heard of Truman. I've never discussed it with a human.
They have two paragraphs in there. By coincidence, President Johnson recalls, he and House Speaker Sam Rayburn had planned a party for Truman that very day, mainly as a morale booster for a man lost in the limbo of the vice presidency. He doesn't think anybody likes him, Rayburn told Mr. Johnson. As it happened, before LBJ arrived, the guest of honor was suddenly and mysteriously summoned to the White House and told to come in the front door. What Truman didn't know was that FDR had just died in Warm Springs, Georgia. But, as Truman dourly told Rayburn, they never tell me anything. Rayburn followed Truman to the White House and later filled Mr. Johnson in on the scene there. Harry Truman taking charge, thanking everyone for rallying so quickly. The oath taking administered by Chief Justice Stone was carried off as soon as Bess and Margaret Truman arrived. The moral Mr. Johnson seemed to be drawing last week without spelling it out was that no one at the time suggested that Truman had shown unseemly haste in promptly taking the presidential oath.
Well, I'm not drawing it one way or the other. I think that the moment a president dies, the vice president becomes president.
Yes, sir.
And I have not discussed it with anyone, to my knowledge. I've never discussed the Truman oath-taking at last week or last month. I've talked a good many times following it during the years about the party that we had given Truman, not because nobody liked him, but because Rayburn had heard from an admiral that the president was dying, and he felt that we should meet with Truman and get to know him and try to be helpful to him in case the problem came up. It was not that nobody liked him. I think everybody liked him. I didn't know anybody that didn't like Truman as vice president. But I have said none of it, and none of it is true, and I don't know what to do about it under those circumstances. I'm not...
Well, telegram, I think George will probably be asked it at his briefing. I think maybe by then we would... We can either do it two ways, just say we have no comment on it, or second, we can do it two ways. One, send a telegram and then let George have no comment, or two, send a telegram to Newsweek and let George just use the quote, use the telegram as his reply to the question.
Well, don't you send a telegram, don't you open it then to
yes,
debate
sir.
Again?
Yes, sir, you do. No question about it. But Robert seemed very disturbed that we would challenge him so hard, and I think
he ought to challenge Kate, too.
Right.
Just tell her that we have not been interviewed, that I asked the staff some time ago in great confidence not to speak on it, not to debate it. We've taken the position, whatever the Kennedys wanted, that I took the position when Manchester was selected, that he was a fraud, that I refused to see him. I asked my people not to see him, and the only ones I know is you and Bird and probably Jack Valenti, who were never under my orders, really, didn't pay much attention to him. I did see him. But I ask everybody not to, just as I ask them not to see Teddy White. I think they're agents of the people who want to destroy me, and I hate for them to use my friends to do it, but they do it. But my friends don't know it, and they won't be popular, and they just do it. And I don't say it's so much popular. I don't think my wife wants to be popular, but I think she wants to be accommodating would be a good word. And I think in the case of White, and I think in the case of Manchester, and I think in the case of Bartlett, and I think in the case of Scotty Reston, and I think in the case of Tom Wicker, and I think in the case of Chuck Roberts, and I think in the case of Peter Lissagore, and in the case of Roland Evans, and in the case of those people, I think that they have people who, A, are former associates of mine, or B, people who know me that I like, or C, people who work for me and want to be accommodating and feel that they ought to. I think they use those to hurt me with, and I think that the people don't recognize it, don't realize it. But I've continuously asked them, and I wish you'd hear, if I could recall for you what I hear that my people say from you to Jack, to Buzz, to George, to Walter. I don't guess Walter's ever said much. But all of them constantly, somebody coming to me every day and saying that these people say this and that. And it's their impressions of what happens. And I honestly believe that they feel that they have a right and a duty, first, to defend me, and second, to give their knowledge of situation, and C, to comment on others. And you have no idea how troublesome it was what they do. But I have asked them all. I told Bob Kendner to ask everybody. He's brought it to my attention 3 or 4 times, that nobody on the staff should discuss Manchester in any way. First thing I heard about it was I understood that there's some felt we ought to put out a statement. And Abe called me, and I said, Abe, I don't think we ought to have a statement of any kind. Now, if you want to have facts, get the facts, and put together ours. I took every precaution I knew. I asked Marie, and I asked Cliff Carter, and I asked Coma Thornberry to all take notes. And I think they did. I've never looked at them. I've never discussed them. But I would try to put those together, and I'd take any questions that the leaks show in the papers that are uncomplimentary to me and try to get the facts. Just as he said, that'd be fine. So that is what's done. Now, that's all I've done, and I've asked them all not to discuss the Manchester book. I've told George this morning to just say that this, now maybe we ought to change it, make it different. I think that you ought to think about it and try to write something that would be one sentence and not get it. But I'd say that the president tells me that he has had many requests for an interview in connection with the book and the events it relates to, and he has refused every one and has asked all of his staff to do likewise. Then I think if they'd say, well, does that mean he refused them with the Newsweek, and say the statement speaks for itself, because it does. You have to give consideration to that.
I think I would probably be a little harder on Newsweek, a little more emphatic.
He said, I hate to bother you at a time like this to Bobby. No, I don't think anything like this. I never thought of a time like this. I thought the most important thing in the world was to decide who was president of this country at that moment. I was fearful that the communists were trying to take us over. I think you should be sworn in there, Bobby said. I don't think that Bobby said that at all. I don't think Bobby took any initiative or any direction. I think that Bobby agreed that it would be all right to be sworn in, and said he wanted to look into it and he would get back to me, which he did. I think that after they found out there's no recording, and there may be one, I think that when McHugh went out and thought there was none, and I think they have leaked some of this. Newsweek said there's an instance when Johnson had to exert authority, according to Newsweek's Chuck Roberts, one of the two. O'Donnell did it. I don't know about that. I didn't know it. I didn't know. I thought O'Donnell and Ms. Kennedy were drinking a good deal back there, and he was looking kind of sad and wild-eyed. But I did not think that he was issuing orders to countermand mine. But it could have been. I don't know it. LBJ remembers intercepting McHugh. I do not. I didn't know he was on the plane. I hardly knew my crew. Telling him he would tell the pilot when to take. I did tell him off, Johnson conceded. I haven't said that to any human. I don't think I did. I don't think I had a conversation with him. He agreed that he probably did call Ms. Kennedy honey. It's a word that comes easy as a Texan. You know, if I call some guy's office to you, and then I'll say to his secretary, honey, have him call in. Now, I don't think that I said that to anybody, and I don't think I called Ms. Kennedy honey. I think that's their idea of you all, and come in, C-O-M-I-N, and this stuff they write about Texas. Now, Norma Milligan says that she's been working on it up there.